Studying James, the book of James in the New Testament, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So let's open our Bibles today to James chapter 2. And normally, the subject we're about to begin in this chapter is a big one. It's a lot of confusion concerning this chapter of the Bible, so we want to be very careful as we go through it. If this was a Bible school or something like that, and you were students in a classroom, I'd probably hold you here for about 2 hours teaching this chapter here. But since we have a mixed crowd this morning, we're going to do you a favor and split it up into two smaller lessons so that don't lose your attention. So let's look here, James chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 14 to 26 today. We'll read all of it, but we won't study all of it to the end. Like I said, this is one of the tough ones, James chapter 2. This is a passage that has caused as much trouble as any other passage in all the Bible, and really there's no reason for it. Like so many of the problems that men have with the Bible or with parts of the Bible, the problem is a result of men bringing a preconceived idea or belief system with them to the text before they start studying the text. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that a man, in order to get to heaven, must be saved by the grace of God. I do not believe it's possible in any way, shape, or form for a man to earn a place in heaven by his deeds, by his merits, or by the life that he's lived. So I feel like I just need to say that right up front, okay? I don't believe there's any way to be saved apart from the grace of God, okay? Nobody deserves heaven. Nobody deserves eternal life. And therefore, anybody that gets to heaven, anybody that gets eternal life, it will be by the grace of God. Now, I also believe, and I believe this because everywhere I turn in the Bible teaches this, I believe that a man that is saved by the grace of God, that salvation will make itself manifest. It will be evident. It will be seen by others in a changed life and in subsequent good works. Okay, that's taught through the Bible. Okay, now there are two groups that object to this passage in James chapter 2. Can I get a fan, brother? Thanks. The Calvinist objects to this passage because the Calvinist believes that salvation is by grace, period. When the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, and God does not save by grace unless he finds faith. Okay? You hear the Calvinist talk all the time. He says, grace, grace, I'm saved by the grace of God. Praise grace, glory to grace. But the Bible says, by grace are you saved, yes, through faith. And James chapter 2 talks about grace through faith, putting the emphasis on the faith. Okay? The second group that objects to this passage that we're about to read is the libertine. That is the man who wants to live any way he wants to live. He wants to do whatever he wants to do and still claim that, well, I'm saved by grace, so I don't have to live a good life. I don't have to do any good works. Therefore, any passage in the Bible that suggests that I have to do good works, that must be for the Jew in the tribulation, or it must be a passage of law that has no application to the Christian. Okay? That's a good excuse, but that's not Bible. And these libertines, they don't want anything to do with the portions of the Bible which have to do with right living. They're always trying to get rid of those parts of the Bible. They'll put them in the tribulation. They'll put them on the Jew. They'll say that they're not for the church. But they're always trying to get rid of the responsibility of the born-again Christian to live a holy life in the eyes of God. And so those two groups, and they make up the majority of the writers and the commentaries and preachers, they just have a terrible time with this passage we're going to study. I told you before, when we started this study, Martin Luther said of James 2, verses 14 to 26 in particular, he said, "One day I'll light my stove with that passage." And what he meant was he'd like to take it and set it on fire and burn it and get rid of it, because Luther was grace, 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 grace. God saves by grace. God saves by grace. And he came to a passage that seemed to teach that God saves by works. And since he couldn't understand it, he said, "We need to get rid of it. Let's burn it." But he didn't, but he said it. Okay, now then Bullinger and the hyper-dispensationalists, they came along and said, "This passage sure looks like it teaches works for salvation. We know that the born-again Christian in the New Testament age is saved by grace, so we need to get rid of this James chapter 2. And they said the book of James is for the Jew in the tribulation, and tried to get rid of it that way. So point being, you're going to come across people who are trying to get rid of the book of James for one simple reason, and that is they don't understand it. Now, the minute you say that, they jump up and down and throw a tantrum and call you nasty names and write you nasty letters and say that you don't know what you're talking about. And so the thing to do is to read the passage, study the passage, check the cross references, and see if we can find out what the Bible actually says without trying to force the Bible into our belief system. I don't believe that a saved man can lose his salvation. But if I found that in the Bible, I would repent of what I had believed and change my belief to make my belief match what the Bible says. Okay? I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming before the tribulation. If somebody could prove to me from the Bible that that was not so, I'd change my belief system. I don't want to say, "This is what I believe, and when I come to something in the Bible that goes against what I believe, I pervert what the Bible says so that I can hang on to my beliefs." I don't want to have to throw out James chapter 2. If I will carefully study, though, James chapter 2, I can come to the bottom of the matter, and it will leave me standing on the solid rock of salvation by grace, just like I was standing when I got to this passage. So let's take a look at it, beginning in James chapter 2, verse number 14. Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.' Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right, so let's get the first key to this passage. And if you are one that likes to mark your Bible, you'll want to mark this one. Verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Verse 16. One of you say unto them. Verse number 18. Yea, a man may say. Okay, that word say is key. This passage is dealing with people who say they have something, but all they have is talk. They have nothing in their life to back up their talk. Exhibit A. Go downtown in any city in America with a handful of gospel tracts and ask people if they're saved. 19 out of 20 will say that they are saved. They don't love God. They don't believe the Bible. They never repented of their sin. They do not attend church. They live wicked and immoral lives, but they say they are saved. James chapter 2 says, we don't care what you say. What have you got? We don't want to hear your talk. We want to see your walk. We don't want a profession. We want a possession. Verse 14, a man say. Verse 16, one of you say. Verse 18, a man may say. James 2, 14 to 26 is addressed to those who speak something with their mouth that they do not possess in their heart. That's what this passage is all about. I can show you this from verse number 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Wilt thou know, O vain man? He professes that he believes something, but his profession is empty. That's what that word vain means. Something that is vain, something that is vanity. That means it's empty. It means there's no substance to it, nothing substantial there. Save your place here, and let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And listen to these words again as you're turning to 1 Corinthians. Listen to what James said in verse 19. He said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe. The devils also believe. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Now the devils, they know that there is one God. Okay. They believe that that is so. They don't argue about it. They do not deny it. They don't fight about it. They believe that that is so. And tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What did he preach to them? Verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There were people at Corinth that believed that in the same way that the devil believes that there's a God. The devil believes in God, but he will not repent and trust God. At the church of Corinth, there were those who believed the gospel, but they would not repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people all over the world that believe that Jesus died on the cross, but they're not saved. There are people all over this world that believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They're not saved. There is no substance to that belief. It's just a mere intellectual consent to some historical facts. It is not saving faith. Okay? That's what we're dealing with in James chapter 2. We are dealing with people on your job that can give you all the right answers. We're dealing with people on your job that will say yes to all of the facts, but they have never had a born-again experience. And the way you know that, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that born-again experience has never taken place in their lives. And so they'll say, I believe all that stuff. Just leave me alone. Okay? I believe all that stuff. Don't preach to me. Jesus said, if you were of God, you would hear God's words. Ye hear them not because you're not of God. He said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. But if you're not one of the Lord's sheep, you may see the shepherd. You may know who the shepherd is. You may know what he does and believe it all to be true. But when someone comes along and says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, they say, get away from me with that Bible stuff. They have the same belief system that the devil has. They have the same belief system that those people in Corinth had. There's nothing substantial to accompany that intellectual belief. It's a vain belief. I hope you're getting this. Now come back to James 2 and look at this. James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Number one, works don't save, but salvation produces works. I'll show you that before we're through this morning from Paul's epistles, or at least by the time we get through with this lesson next week, you'll be sure of it. If you can't come next week, you can find this lesson uploaded on our website, so don't worry about that. Number two, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So here's the situation. This man is hungry. This man is cold. You know that. You know what to say. You say, be warm, be full, see you later. You said the right thing. You know the right thing to say, but you didn't do anything. Okay? There was no action on your part to evidence that you cared about that hunger and you cared about that nakedness. Therefore, what's the truth of the matter? You didn't care, right? Would you agree? Okay, now here's the illustration. You say that you believe in God. You say that you believe the gospel. But you haven't done anything about it. You haven't repented of your sin. You haven't trusted Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can say that you believe it, but there is no proof. If you really believe it, you'll do something about it. If you really want that man fed, you would feed him. If you really want that man clothed, you would clothe him. If you really believed the gospel, you would be born again. The fact that you have not been born again is proof that you know in your head that something is right, but there's no genuine faith there. You've not acted upon the knowledge that you obtain. Again, in verse number 17, even so, okay, there's the example, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The statement is not that works save, okay? But the statement in the Word of God is this: if there are no works, there is no faith to start with, okay? And I'll show you that before we get finished with this subject matter. If there are no works, there is no faith. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me, okay, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, I hope you need to get this. You cannot show faith without works. Faith is, it's invisible, right? And we'll see that before we're through. Faith is the substance of things not seen. You're saved by what? Grace. Can you see grace? No. Through faith. Can you see faith? Yes. You're not saved by faith. You're saved by God's grace. Okay? Through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Is grace evident? It's unseen. It's a work of God. Is faith evident? Yes, it is. That's the work of man who's received the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. And James 2:18 says, if you have genuine faith, you'll be able to show it to me. If you have genuine faith, a man can see it. Verse 19, thou believest, okay, up here, intellectual belief, okay, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Intellectual belief is not faith. The devils have an intellectual belief in Jesus Christ. They do not put faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? The professors at Stetson University, for example, they have an intellectual belief in Jesus Christ. Many of them have not put faith in Jesus Christ. We all have relatives who have an intellectual belief in Jesus Christ. They have not put faith in Jesus Christ. Now, without the intellectual belief, there will never be faith. Okay? But the intellectual belief is not faith. I'll show you something else. Save your place. Turn over to Romans chapter 10 for a minute. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Notice, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But hearing the word of God is not faith. Okay? It's the means by which faith comes. So here's what we've got. Intellectual belief is not faith. But without intellectual belief, there will be no faith. Hearing the word of God is not faith. But without hearing the word of God, there will be no faith. But a man may have an intellectual belief and sit in a good church every Sunday morning for 3 years and never be saved, never be born again. And he may not disagree with anything the preacher says, but if it's a mere intellectual belief, that's not saving faith. And hearing the word of God is the means whereby faith comes, but even that is not faith. Okay, come back to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse number 20. But wilt thou know, there's that word know. You say that you know about God, you know about the Bible, you've got some knowledge. Well, here's something else you need to know. Here's another fact of intellectual knowledge you need to acquire. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, let's find the evidence. Intellectual belief is not faith, but it produces faith. Hearing the word is not faith, but produces faith. Now, let's come to Hebrews chapter 11 and find out what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11. First of all, we'll look at verse number 1 for a definition. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, that means it's something substantial. It's something you can lay hold on. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence. You can't see what you're putting faith in, but you can see faith. Faith is the evidence. Okay, verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered. Well, Cain and Abel both knew about the lamb. They both had that intellectual knowledge about the lamb. Cain and Abel both heard from God, from Adam, from Eve, about the lamb. They both heard the word of God. Well, Abel did something about what he heard. That is faith. By faith, Abel offered. Okay, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. End of the verse. He pleased God. Well, Enoch, we learn from other places in the Bible, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching coming judgment. He was preaching a way of escape. We know that from the cross references on Enoch. Those men living in Enoch's day, they knew intellectually about God. They knew what God did to Adam and Eve. They knew what God did to Cain. They knew about judgment. They knew what God did for Adam and Eve in the garden with those coats of skins. They knew about Abel. They knew about God's grace. So they had an intellectual belief. And they heard the word of God. Enoch preached it. But Enoch got out before the flood because he did something. That's faith. Look down through this chapter just briefly. Verse 7. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. He did something. Look down at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed. He did something. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob blessed. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph made mention. He did something. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid. They did something. His parents did something. Verse 24, by faith Moses refused. He did something. Verse 27, by faith he forsook. He did something. Faith is not an intellectual belief. Faith is not a hearing of the word of God. Faith is believing what you hear and acting upon it. And where you do not act upon what you hear and what you know, there is no faith. So when a man says, I have faith, but there's no action, he is not telling the truth. Because faith is action. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is a definition of faith. And the whole chapter says, he did this, he did this, she did this, she did this, he did this. It is illustrating, it is evidencing, it is substantiating what I've heard and what I believe. You say, well, in Noah's day, a lot of people believed God. No, they did not. Well, you say, well, where's the proof? How do you know that? Because only 8 people got in the ark. There's the proof right there. Show me your faith. If you believe, you're going to get on the ark. If you don't believe, you're going to die in the flood. Show me something. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Why? Because they marched around the city 13 times and then they blew the horns like God told them to. They could have just sat in the camp and said, well, you know, I think that's really true what God said. I don't doubt it one bit. You know, the word of God, it's right. You know what God said? God said if you march around that city, those walls will fall down. I sure do believe that, don't you? You know something? If they would have just stayed in the tent talking about what God said and agreeing that it was true, the walls of Jericho would not have fallen down. They had to get out there and march around that city by faith. They did something. Now the Bible says in Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved. Nobody gets to heaven unless God, by his grace, forgives their sins and takes them to heaven. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Nobody gets to heaven by God's grace unless they repent of their sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Now, that is not salvation by works. That is salvation by grace through faith. Faith is doing something to substantiate and to evidence that your belief is true. And all over the world today, you got people saying, it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That is a lie out of hell. It wouldn't do any good to say all you got to do is believe in the ark. You got to get in the ark. It wouldn't do any good to say all you got to do is believe on the blood of the Lamb on that doorpost on Passover night. No, you've got to put the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost. It wouldn't have done Rahab any good to say, all you got to do is believe in the scarlet thread. I believe in the scarlet thread. No, she had to hang the scarlet thread out on the window. Now again, you got two groups perverting the scripture. The Calvinist says it's all grace. There's nothing for you to do. The libertine says it's all grace, and if anybody says you have to do anything, they're teaching the law. They're both wrong. If we will allow the Bible to define its terms, you can't say, I have faith, and you're doing nothing. Because the biblical definition of faith is doing something. That's what we're dealing with in James chapter 2. Now, this is where I'm going to stop for today. Because the next verse in our passage, James 2:21, well, it opens up a big can of worms that's going to take a lot of time to deal with. Because people object to the wording of the verse, which speaks of Abraham being justified by works. Okay? And they say, well, certainly this can't be scripture for the Christian. We're not justified by works. But you're going to find out that justification is not limited to just salvation. That's where people get it wrong. See, God can declare, he can declare you to be doing right after you've been saved and born again. That's, he justifies you saying he did right, she did right. Okay, so I hate to leave you hanging here, but I don't want to get into this next section knowing that it's going to take some time. So let's pray, and then we'll continue this lesson next week. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the light that you've given us today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you have removed confusion today. And if I've brought any confusion, I pray that anyone who's got some questions would simply feel free to ask. And so, Father, I thank you again for your holy scriptures by which we get the knowledge we need to know about our Savior who died for our sins. And yet, Lord, I thank you that you've taught us about the need of faith. That's what you're looking for in each of us, that we take action, repent of our sins, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.